I bet you I can build you a more accurate daily report in 15 seconds than your guy could do in 15 minutes. And I'll put $100 on it right now. People who are using a good time tracking product, they don't have to guess. If you're a business owner, you shouldn't be guessing. If you're guessing, there's something fundamentally wrong with a process of how you're gathering information or the fact that you're not. But the thing that you hear over and over and over, a consistent theme is, for the first time in my business career, I'm no longer guessing. I can grow if I want to grow, and I know where to grow and how to grow. And that means the certain type of employee, as well as the certain type of project or the certain type of crews that should do certain type of work, all because it's data driven. And that is a shift that you, 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, there's no way I would have been saying that we're actually seeing the business owners do that at a historic level.
By now, many of you have probably heard of our contractor growth scorecard. And if you haven't taken the quiz yet, you absolutely should. You see, this thing will take 5 minutes to do, and you're going to learn all about your biggest bottlenecks. But most importantly, you're going to get a ton of free resources to help you in those exact areas. So check it out in the description below, and I'll let you take it from there.
You're listening to Contractor Evolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less.
Derek Shakespeare, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate it. Fun to be here.
You are the CRO of AlignOps, and also, I guess, on the busy. It's now kind of conjoined into one thing. You spent a lot of time talking about time, tracking of time, and I look forward to this conversation today when we can get into it. Why it matters for this industry, what you guys have figured out over the last few years, and how we can use it in our businesses and benefit from it. So, sound good?
Yeah. Like you said, I've spent 9 years talking about time tracking, labor management. AlignOps is a company that owns fleet management system, safety management system, labor management system, asset management system. But I came in through an acquisition about 2.5 years ago of the labor management time tracking anchor piece there. And so that is where my background sits the most.
Why is this such an important topic? I mean, this is just to some, maybe just another app, or I have a project management software. Why do I need, like, why do you feel, I know this is your life, so you're a bit biased in this, but like, why is time tracking so important, especially for construction, for this industry we're in?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I will say, of course I'm biased because it is my life, but it's my life because I saw the problem first. So our founder, he started the business 15 years ago, and he's from the industry. I mean, for those of us listening who have watched Shark Tank, all the best founder stories are people from the industry. There's a problem. Nobody's solving it well. They don't understand my industry. And that was his story. The guy owns 4 different construction companies in 4 different trades. So he's well-versed across the industry. And historically, the problem is the same regardless of what you're doing, which is, I don't understand my labor cost. I'm consistently not making the profit I should be. And when you look at a project, 30 to 50% of the project cost is labor. Uh-huh. And it's your highest variable cost. A lot of the other costs are fixed, right? You make an estimate, you know what your bid is, you order the material once, it's locked. But when you're managing a job site and your labor costs get off, the compounding effect that it can have across the rest of the project, it doesn't stop. So that's why I actually joined, because I wanted to help solve the problem. I did construction when I was in high school, understood it very well. I love data. So the idea of being able to help people understand how to run a profitable job by anchoring down on labor first, it's a mission critical part of the industry that I knew we could make a huge dent in.
This is pretty broad strokes, but like, how much time do you think gets wasted or paid out that's not productive based on just what you've seen from before and afters with companies that you work with?
We hear consistently, and this is coming their voice, 30 to 40%. So in fact, I'll give you an example. I did a podcast with one of our clients a couple years back, and they're out of Wisconsin, and the CFO and CEO came to World of Concrete looking for a solution for their time problem. And we started chatting. Like, they had talked to a number of different people because they knew that this was a problem that had to be solved. I love when people are talking broadly about the problem because then they have the ability to really assess things well and understand what makes the way that we solve the problem unique. But as they purchased the time tracking solution that is provided by AlignOps and rolled it out, I followed up with the CFO a couple different times, asked him how it was going. After a year of using the product, moving off of paper and living in a digitized world, we had made them $1 million. And he breaks it down on the podcast, but he said, when we got into it, we were every quarter consistently, we were 30 to 40% loss on non-value time. That's how they bucketed it. Value time, non-value time. And they were a waterproofing company. So he's like, look, Derek, it's really simple. We get paid for one thing. That's being in front of a wall, making it waterproof. And so if my guys aren't in front of a wall, we've got a problem. But on paper, things were so generic, so rounded, so simple because of all of the manual processes of carrying the paper, collecting the paper, filling out the paper, keying the paper into a software, that they tried to keep it really simple. And moving into a digitized space, it's like, we didn't go heavy. We weren't trying to change the world. We just tracked three things: time at the shop, time traveling, time in front of a wall. Right. Like, very quickly, we saw 40% of our labor was non-value time. And by using BusyBusy just for that basic level job costing, they were able to cut that down to 20%, saved them $500,000. And then the 20% that they were in front of a wall drove productivity, made them another $500,000. A year later, they were $1 million profit. They used that $1 million to acquire another company and keep scaling. But like, that's a really specific story with extensive modeling of exactly how it works. But even clients that don't go into that much detail about exactly where the 40% is and what they're cutting, we hear it all the time. Is, I was shocked when we rolled your product out because everybody's paychecks went down the first week. And then people realized how much time they hadn't been working where they were logging hours. So then their paychecks came back up to the historic 40 hours or 45 hours if you're logging overtime, and productivity went through the roof. Because companies aren't trying to reduce hours. They don't want the checks to go down. It's something to actually manage against. But the efficiency gain is really the impact that people are looking for and celebrating, which is why they always circle back to tell the story.
I always find it interesting, back in my painting days, there was crews that would literally like half budgets and crews that would literally go over budget by double. And the jobs were relatively the same. And the skill even of the people was actually relatively the same. It was just the way they approached the project and how things went that suddenly I'm like, I'm paying way over on this one. We're making way more money on this one. And everyone always look at me and think it's estimating. It wasn't. It was actually the way that they approached the project and the way that they saw their before lunchtime, their after lunchtime. They went goal versus actual versus other ones that just aimlessly painted all day long. So that's cool to see.
And to your point, I think the thing that's really hard for some people is, as an owner or a supervisor, you might be on that job for a couple hours and you see people who work the same because you're seeing them at their optimum efficiency. Like, these 2 hours, these people are really skilled and their skills are very equal. But when you spread it across a project, or even better, you take 6 months of data and say, this is what my crews are doing with these projects and this is where they're coming in versus budget, you very quickly start to see that although they might be equally skilled, they're not spending their hours the same during the day.
You had mentioned something in another talk that I watched you on, which was like around the productivity of the manufacturing space versus the productivity of the construction space and the variance there and the difference. Can you just speak to that a bit? Because it's, when you said that, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So this one kills me. And it's a huge part. Again, I talk about why I join the what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? When you talk about the bias of time, I saw this before I came here. Having the CEO and founder being somebody that I had known previous to founding the company and talking about the impact that he was making, but also his businesses and where he was bleeding. Manufacturing companies since 1950 have increased productivity by 800 to 900%. Construction is largely flat, but when you put it against the entire industry, it's actually down a little bit. And when you think about where it's going, there's an unfair advantage with manufacturing.
Sure. It's a controlled environment.
It's a controlled environment. People need to understand that this is not an apples to apples comparison, but the efficiency gains, you're talking 900%. If you were living in a world where we had done half of that mm-hmm. in construction, imagine what the building world would look like today. And so when you think about where we're going, and this is why living in a digital world is so important, you see the shifts in a lot of other places. Healthcare, they don't want you on paper anymore, and there's a reason why. Whenever you're digitizing anything, the amount of additional information that you can get, the reduction in errors, the increase in efficiency, where it's interesting too, you'll have conversations with people as they're looking at, hey, we're either coming off paper or we're moving off of spreadsheets or a really, really bad product that a payroll company offers. Sometimes people in the office will get scared that a product like ours might be too good. It might be too efficient. And then people are going to lose their job because, well, what am I going to do? If you reduce my payroll time by 67%, because that is the number that we historically average, well, what am I going to do? And it's like, no, you're thinking about this wrong. Like, you live in a world of opportunity cost. Think about all of the things that you could be doing that you're not. Think how much more efficient your billing could be if you were billing on time and collecting on time, which then allows you to have another person or another piece of equipment, which then drives additional productivity. So that is the direction that we're headed, and trying to get some of those gains where we're behind in manufacturing, because manufacturing is controlled, but it also is a place where they've been able to use a lot of technology for a long time. And so we're playing catch up in technology in the construction space. We no longer talk to people when we're talking about time tracking, labor management, payroll costs that say like, I don't know if this makes sense. I don't know if I'm going to do it. It's all right, I need to do this. It's a matter of when. There's no question. I keep hearing from my employees, other where they came from did it and it was way better. Like, nobody wants to be on paper anymore. They carry a phone for everything. They don't want to carry a piece of paper and a pencil.
Yeah, we're evolving as an industry, and I've seen that very much for the last 10 years. When you look at like manufacturing as an example, and like you said, you can't take all the lessons from it because it's not a fair comparison, but what can we glean from this? Like, what is it that's going on or has been going on over in the manufacturing world that we can really bring over and adopt in our construction space?
So they measure everything. I mean, that's first and foremost. Like, you'll hear the cliched phrase that if you don't measure it, you can't manage it.
Yeah,
and
sure,
you
yeah.
rarely improve it. That's really what it comes down to. I think that's the thing where often in business, because there's so many things going on, the business owners complicate things. And often you will also see business owners that are in such a rush to be good that they never become great because they didn't build some foundational components around what a behavior should look like. Manufacturing does that. Manufacturing does that almost better than everybody, where because it is a completely controlled environment, they manage, they measure, they measure twice and they cut once, right? It's one of those things where, and then they're able to say, okay, now that we've done this and we've implemented this, what was the impact? What does it look like? Where can we make additional changes? And those are the places you go back to the company that I mentioned that made $1 million in a year. That was only 90 employee company. Now, 90 employees is not small, but when you think about 90 employees and injecting an extra $1 million of profitability, and then what you can do next. And that was the conversation with the CFO after is, hey, now that we've done this, here are some additional changes that we're going to make as well. And you'll see that like electricians are starting to get really, really good at measuring time in front of a wall.
Yeah. Can you walk me through components of this? Because like you can think of it in broad strokes. It's like time tracking is tracking how much time you're working. Clock in, clock out, and it's basic level. But what are the components of a really healthy time tracking system within reality? We can nerd out on all the crazy ways you could do this, but for your average contractor, what are like the high impact elements of a time tracking system that they should be looking for, they should look to integrate, they should work towards, even if it's a little challenging to do, that create like the best ROI?
Yeah. Yeah. Really great question. And it's unique by trade. We've talked about a couple already. I'll talk about a couple more. So, you go back to the reason that this product was created. There are four different companies that were owned by the founder. One of them was an excavation company. And when you think about for the dirt movers who are listening to this, if you're in that space and you've got equipment, you shouldn't just be tracking hours. You should be tracking hours. You should be tracking hours on a machine. You should be tracking your work idle reports. But at the end of the day, or at the end of the week, if you can't take a report and say, here are my payroll costs, here's how many hours my guys were operating machine, here's how many hours my guys were not operating machine, you've got a problem. Mm-hmm. Like fundamental, hard stop. You cannot have anything that they are clocking in and out of if they're not clocking to the machine as well. Because you should be able to tie those hours directly to that machine and understand the impact that it's having on your operation. For a painting company, right? There's some fundamental job costing that should be happening. You don't have to track everything, but if you're not understanding the basics of when the guys are putting up scaffolding versus when they're painting, you got a problem. And that's with painting contractors. This is a place that we hear a lot is I had no idea how efficient some of my crews were with setup and takedown,
yeah,
and how bad some of my crews were with setup and takedown.
This was a big one for me, actually, was setup, cleanup, but also safety conditions. So having that actually in my quotes changed everything, because we used to just go around and look at the walls, look at the projects we had to go take care of. It was all exterior work. But when you suddenly realize, like, I gave these guys, I even had a spot for it. I had a little check for like safety conditions that I would put 20 minutes on. And I was like, this is taking an hour and a half. I'm putting 20 minutes in hour and a half spots, and suddenly like helped me understand where tons of time is being wasted. In the cleanup phase, it's just like there's crews who just dawdle because they're done and they're kind of tired, and there's guys who are getting ready for the next project and shipping off, and they're moving fast. And it was interesting for me, because there was like the project itself. Yeah, there was improvements. I found it in all the things that were outside of that, things that needed to be added to my quote, and processes that were just kind of left behind because we didn't have a good. We focused so much on doing the project itself, besides the actual stuff around it.
Yeah. So it's interesting you say that, because it ties into where we're going in the problems that we're solving. So we have a really unique advantage. Again, I mentioned this before. We have a mission critical software. Like during COVID, when a bunch of software companies were freaking out because people were canceling their software, ours wasn't going anywhere. You got to pay your people and you got to know what your costs are so that you can actually run an efficient business. Now, what that does for us is it provides a really unique opportunity in the market, because people have to use our software field first. Most software like QuickBooks is built for the office. Sage, Viewpoint, all of those different products. It's like, yeah, they're office first. They're really, really robust in the office. And there's 3 to 5 people that use them. And then maybe 1 or 2 people out in the field to touch it, but it's rare. For us, our number one audience, it's the people out in the field. So our guy that we hired as a designer, he's a concrete guy. Because like your dad owns this business, your brother's works for him, you work for him for 10 years. Now you've been to school, you understand software, you understand design. Come and design this in a way that regardless of the trade that people are coming from, that they can see it, that they can use it, and that they'll adopt it quickly. Now, the advantage that that's given us, because people are clocking in at the beginning of the day and they're clocking out at the end of the day, it's allowed us to focus in on a bunch of other data that historically people were not getting from the field, but they needed it, like safety. Hey, when you left a job site, were you injured today? And people get excited going like, oh, cool, you can capture when they're injured. No. It's not just capture when you're injured. We're now capturing when they're not injured. So people can't come back and say they were hurt 6 months ago and they told their supervisor and they didn't do anything about it. It's like, no, we got it documented here. You were signed off. But additionally, it gives us the opportunity where people have observations and inspections right in the app. So you pull it up, you clock in, and then you are able to do an inspection. You're able to do observations on the site. So you, mentioning your painting company, after 6 months of bidding, putting 20 minutes on safety conditions, you'd have the ability, because the information we're feeding from the field, to realize through the observations and inspections that the guys are doing, you got a problem. These guys are spending hours dealing with safety conditions, and you are putting it as a really soft line item on a bid. So we're using the fact that the app is deployed out in the workspace, time tracking first, to capture a bunch of other information to help you run a business.
How often do people actually do this? Is this like a weekly, a monthly, a quarterly process? Like, if I'm adjusting my estimating, right? This is something that I probably am noticing kind of randomly through, like in my story, I kind of noticed it randomly throughout and made an adjustment in the summer. Is there a best practice to even using your guys' software? But it's like, how does somebody sit down and actually identify, here's our estimates versus our actuals, here's the adjustments we're going to make, change the actual SOP, bring that down to the sales team? Like, how often should we be doing this? And what's the best way to do this to stay efficient and not overbake it?
Yeah, really good question. I'm trying to speak to the whole audience. Sure. And it's so unique by trade, because some of these trades are so season heavy, mm-hmm. and then others aren't. For people who are extremely season heavy, what they tend to want to do is they want to check it at the end of every season. The problem with that is that you lost so much during that time. And so generally what we're telling someone in the earth workspace, right, is, hey, you're generally ramping up around April. You're generally going to ramp down around September. So do yourself a favor, block off 2 to 3 days in the middle of June to do a full review of exactly what's happening. It shouldn't be happening all the time, because it's one of those things that if you do it too much, you're just going to cause yourself whiplash. It's like, oh, this one project.
Yeah.
Like, we have an entire dashboard built so you can manage the health of the business daily. You'll see when something's off. You can see when you're way over on something. So you don't have to go deep, 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 but the ability for people who are more seasonal, halfway through the season, to evaluate. And then people who are not seasonal, your commercial, your HVAC, some of those trades, we just tell them twice a year, hey, I'd recommend, what we've seen historic success on is do a deep dive twice a year, take all of this project data, look at your estimates, look at your actuals, see what you're expecting, review your crews and see who's doing the best work on certain types of work, and then make a couple changes accordingly.
Have you ever, so the one thing I used to use it for was we ran a piece rate system. So we used to go goal versus actual on job sites, and that really drove people in certain areas. Can you use it to do that? Is there an efficient way to do that? How does somebody go not only goal versus actual for adjusting of estimates, but actually live time on sites, have people realize, hey, we're behind on our prep. Hey, we're ahead on our whatever, I'm talking painting, first coat. Is there a way to see goal versus actual? And how could somebody frame that? Do you see that much in your client base you work with?
Yes, so we do. The thing that we always tell people, especially if they're new, is, hey, don't try to hit the end goal of what you want to be in 5 years in the first year, or you're not going to get the adoption. And you will err on the side of trying so hard to get so much information that you're actually going to be less accurate. So what you described, absolutely. From a job costing standpoint, you take a concrete company 5 years from now who adopted today, they'd be able to look and see who's tying rebar, how much time they spent, how long did it take to put the frames up, what did the prep work look like, what was the pour, what was the finish, all of that, and you can segment all of it. But to start, we're trying to get people, hey, do a couple buckets. Again, go, okay, where's your time on site versus time in office, time travel, time. And then you can go to prep and finish. And so we'll generally walk people through and help. We assign a client success manager to all of our clients. So after somebody is fully onboarded, they get a success manager, and they're ultimately a consulting arm for them, where you're saying, like, hey, here's the behavior. Here's what we're seeing. What does it look like? What do you want to accomplish next year? And depending on the size of the business, sometimes we'll meet with them yearly. Larger businesses will meet with them up to quarterly. And we're just talking about how granular do you want to be with job costing. But again, you have to be careful. We went out, one of our really large customers in Colorado, we went out there on site with some of their people before they purchased and rolled us out. And the product that they were previously using, they had done so many cost codes and they were doing so much that what the supervisor started doing is they would wait until the project was over. And then they were just shifting cost into wherever the budgets existed. And you're like, your estimators are right 100% of the time because you're just putting your cost in the buckets that they built an estimate for. You're not helping anybody. And so for our side, what you're looking at, when you pull up a dashboard, you have the ability to see what your expected labor hours were, but also what your labor costs were. So you can see where you're on track, where you're off. Same thing if you want to track progress to the job. You can measure that in cubic feet, yards, square feet, like depending on what trade you're in. So you can track progress, you can track your labor hours, you can track your labor costs, and then it gets into the equipment side of things for those people who are in that space. But so you've got a number of budgets, and depending on how sophisticated your organization is, or how limited you want to be because you're first looking for adoption. Hey, man, I just got to get off paper. Let me get used to technology. Let me have my guys really like this and enjoy the move. And then we can start moving into getting granular where we're going budget versus actual.
Let's talk about adoption actually for a second. There's two sides I want to talk about this. One is I actually want to talk about the owner coming in and being like, hey, we're going to finally do this, and where they f*** it up and where they do a really good job. Because I know that's a big part of onboarding in the beginning. And then I want to talk about the crews and like their ability to trust and do this. But let's start with the owner, because I'm sure you have users that come in. They're excited. They're finally ready to do this. What do they need to know before they start this journey to do this well? And where have you seen like the most common just pitfalls that people fall into when they start to try and do this and it just doesn't take?
Okay, making sure I heard you right. We're starting with the employees first or owners?
Let's start with the owners first. Let's start top down. Decisions being made to do this. Adoption doesn't take. What's going on? And then those who have success in it.
Owner first, failure every time is strong-arming people. Not giving people a why, not explaining that this is something that is meant to make the business better. And we really, really heavily try to coach against this. It's one of the really nice things about the experience that we built is we're genuinely not trying to sell somebody something. We're trying to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. You have a problem that is managing your labor and your payroll. Let's see if we can actually solve that for you. So we'll ask a number of questions going through the process of, hey, what does this look like? Now, of course, if someone's a good fit, we would love for them to solve the problem by deploying our software. But in those conversations, a lot of times we'll ask a question like, okay, so you have X amount of employees. How do you plan to roll this out? Like, that is something we want to hear. We want to know. And they're like, well, I'm just going to tell them they got a user. They're not going to get paid. And it's like, okay, that's true. And fair. They wouldn't get paid if they don't turn in a time card, but where, including your kids or your partner or anyone else, like where in life has the best path, whether you're right or not in the decision, where is the best path ever been to not give somebody anything but a directive or else? And so a lot of the times we're talking to people around, hey, like foster a culture that allows people to be a part of something bigger than what they currently are. There's an opportunity for you here right now by deploying technology in your business. You're going to be more profitable than you've ever been. There's an opportunity to give a little bit back. I mean, you go back, you were talking about how long ago you were in the industry actually doing the work. And I go back to when I first joined. When I first joined, we had to dare people to use us. They were so afraid. Like you're nine,
big 10 brother.
Oh man. We would tell people like we had an actual guarantee for a while. We just said simply, hey, 90 days, we guarantee you, we will make you more money than we cost you, or we'll give you every dollar back. Mm-hmm. We had to be extremely bold in our stands to get alignment because people were scared of technology. Again, people are getting past that for the most part. You still see a number of people that are hoping it works, but hope isn't a strategy. And so what we get into is like, don't hope this is going to work. It's going to work. You just have to do it right. So here's the strategy. The execution of it is this. You buy the product, you meet with the team, and you say, hey, we've got an opportunity here. We're going to streamline this. We're going to reduce the amount of time it takes our payroll people to do this. Then they're going to be able to do these other things more effectively. And by the way, you don't have to carry this paper around anymore. We're going to do it all on the phone that you already have. Pull out your phone, download this app. So you start the conversation there, but the opportunity to say, we're going to have some fun with it. It's a new technology. So the first week, it's Monday morning. This first week, whoever clocks in and clocks out accurately all week without any edits, any problems, and didn't miss anything, $100. And next week, if you can do it again, $200. So you have an opportunity in the next 3 weeks to make $300, Visa gift cards. You don't have to worry about anything. It's on us. But just have some fun. Do it better than the guy next to you and get an opportunity to get a couple $100 in gift cards. Like, that's the type of engagement that you want. Make it competitive. Give somebody a reason to do something that makes an impact in the business while also gives them something outside of, well, I guess I'm changing because my boss said so.
Yeah. Yeah. You do need to gamify it a bit, and you need to have some element of like what's in it for me really well thought through. I think that's a good example. I think I always go back to piece rate, but like utilizing the piece rate system really helped me gamify it for them. Like the biggest thing I realized in doing that is, and for those who don't know what piece rate is I basically pay them a certain amount per job. So I'd say, hey, this job is estimated for 100 hours. If you do it 90, you get paid all 100. If you do it 110, you only get paid 100. And it really incentivized them to make their own destiny. And I don't know how, like, because there's time tracking and what's going on in busy, but then there's the actual like compensation agreement and the way that this can be set up by state. It's a little different. But in doing that, what I realized is I got out of the way of their success. And I was like, look, we're not doing this just for me. We're actually doing this so that you can stop coming to me for raises. And we can start to talk about how you can perform in your own productivity to do better on sites and make more money for yourself. And the more productive you do, the better off you're going to be in your role and the more you're going to grow. Do you see that much? Do people use it much for that? For me, that's just my background, but
yeah,
The biggest thing I found adoption from is when I put the ball in their court and I said, you have the ability to go drive your own success and make your own money.
Yeah. So the ability, again, to use technology gives you the opportunity to be efficient in so many different ways that when somebody is rolling something out like this, we're unique in the fact that it's not just clock in and clock out. We have the ability, of course, the GPS factor, but we have the ability, all your documents for the project uploaded and put right on that project. So all the field employees can access everything there. Your daily report at the end of the day, a daily that is taking a supervisor historically 30 to 45 minutes because they got to write down every employee and what they were doing and how long they were doing it. Like, we can do that. And this is always one of the most fun things to show somebody in person, because I'm like, I bet you I can build you a more accurate daily report in 15 seconds than your guy could do in 15 minutes. And I'll put $100 on it right now. And especially for guys or you're at an event and they got some of their people with them, we're like, oh, let's see it. But we can aggregate all the information, and there's this AI machine learning component to it where every single person who's clocked in on that project, who's taken a photo that day, it pulls all of that information in automatically into a daily report. And it's like, here's all the people who worked here today. Here's all the photos that they took. Here's what it looks like. Here's what they did. All of that. So again, there are some really basic fundamental, hey, we're going to make your life easier. Check out these things. But then there's the flip side of it, which is what you were talking about, which is there is an opportunity here where you can actually sit down, and every company is so different. Some people are full disclosure. Hey, nothing behind the curtain. Let's be transparent. Y'all can see what our bids are. Here's what our margin needs to be. You can participate in the difference. Other people are not wanting to do that at an employee level, but they want to do it at a supervisor level or at a foreman level. And so it looks different for everybody, but the ability to be able to sit down and say, hey, we're going to put these budgets on a project. You have your labor hours and your labor cost. That labor cost is specific to this project. It's tied to the estimate. And if you are 10% under, you get 50% of the difference.
Yeah.
That type of gamification, you talked about it with piece rate, because we've seen some people who do piece rate stuff as well, where it's just simply here's my bid, here's your bid, ready, go. But there's also just the labor component where you can tie it directly to that one single element of here's the labor cost. You're responsible for this. You and your crew can participate in the difference.
Absolutely. And actually, I think I used the word piece rate. It was all labor focused. So it's good. You just mentioned AI, and I just want to touch on this and we can kind of close out it from here. But what are you guys working on right now when it comes to AI? What is kind of the future when it comes to time tracking? What's going on over at Align Ops that you guys are thinking through? What's coming to this industry? What's the next couple of years look like?
Yeah, AI is a fun topic. Every time somebody asks about it, I have to be careful about what we say, what we don't say. Don't want to overpromise anybody. Sure. While also understanding, like, we're equally extremely careful in the way that we evaluate AI, the power of it, what it can do, what it can disclose, what we want shared, what we don't. We're customer first, like heavy what we do and how we do it is, well, how is this going to impact the customer? I'm not interested in building something just so that we can put it on a website and say AI because a couple more people will click on it. I want the results 5 years from now to be more powerful. So when we look at AI, we're looking at it in a way that says, how can this be empowering while we limit the exposure to things that our clients wouldn't want exposed. So right now there's places where, like, the daily report, hey, AI can do some aggregation here. It can do a summary. You can go in and say, hey, tell me about my field reports for the last 30 days. What consistencies did you see? What anomalies did you see? What should I be aware of? That type of stuff is already built into it, and it stays inside your platform where whatever it's touching, it's exclusive to you. When you get into the data evaluation of it, what we're doing right now, you go back to the idea of saying, hey, how often should people evaluate this stuff? How would you tell people how to best run their business? A lot of that will come from external prompts. So we'll sit down with somebody. We've got extensive exports that we can help people with and say, hey, let's grab this data. Let's grab these projects that are similar, export this information, put it into AI, and ask it to find the specific things. What do you want to know? How do you want to know? And then it can comb through the data for you, but you do it so that we're not doing it because it's not something that people want. And we have... The interesting thing about Align Ops is we have, we've got well over 200,000 contractors that use our four products, and there's over 120,000 contractors that use BusyBusy specifically. And when you think about that, it's everyone from 5 employee companies to thousands of employee companies. And those larger companies, the billion-dollar companies, There are companies where we're signing stuff saying, yeah, AI can't touch this.
Sure.
And so it's critical to us as we look at a path forward where we're saying data privacy matters. This is a critical component of how we would use this and how it would be toggled on or toggled off. And so I hope I answered your question. I was trying not to be too vague while trying to give people insights into what it does, what it can do externally, how we give our customers control to be able to do it. And then we'll even teach some of those behaviors and prompts.
Yeah, well, what you just said, it makes sense. It's take the raw data out of the system, pump it into your AI of choice, and start to play with that so you can get insights that are outside of even just what the dashboards say. It'll start to show you long-term trends and threads that you can use.
And then there's other cool things, like for people who want to do photo verification when at clock-in, like we do AI visualization on that to say, hey, this is Danny. Yep, that's Danny. Hey, that's actually not Derek. I don't know who that person is, but that's not the guy.
What is it like just being in the position you're in the company you're in, working with that many contractors? Even as a closing thought, like, what is the biggest trends you're seeing? What are the biggest things to be aware of? What is kind of like the big stuff that you're seeing with all of us? What are we all messing up and what are we all getting better at as we use this stuff? What's the big opportunity here?
So a couple of things we've talked about trend-wise. So some of it I'm going to restate for the sake of the audience as well as for myself to make sure I didn't miss anything. One of the trends we're seeing right now is a big shift in, instead of people wondering if I will ever do that, it's when. I know I need technology, is now the right time. And the interesting thing with that, and you know this, you've talked to so many people who have adopted technology and have seen the impact, but it's like, if you know you're going to do something, what are you waiting for? You're only losing money by delaying it. Like, even if it were to be a little bit bumpy to deploy, if you're going to deploy it in 6 months or a year, don't you want to get past a couple of those bumps so that you're actually to the efficiency part? Like, there's never a perfect time to make a change, but the most expensive words in business are, we've always done it this way. And so that shift, I think partly is coming from a new wave of owners, but man, we talk to a lot of people who have been in the industry for 50 years. And like, we just had a dude who called us, and a business owner, successful. He didn't buy our software a year ago because he was afraid that his main guy would say no. His main guy ended up breaking off, starting his own business, and literally referred him to Busy Busy.
Right.
And so you're starting to see that, where people are, the behavior looks different. And so the field engagement's different too. I think cultures are also improving. People are starting to be aware, because we've been at a shortage of labor force for so long, that business owners are actually getting better at owning a business, instead of strong arming every bit of what they're doing and treating people like, well, you should just be glad you're getting a paycheck. Culture is improving. There's a big shift there, where people are cognizant of what their employee satisfaction looks like, what their safety looks like. Again, it's why safety is such a big part of our product as well, is because people care differently. So I would say that at the start, just from a fundamental technology adoption level, it's a race. Your competitor's already using a technology. Like, you should be too. When you think about what the technology is doing, and technology is being adopted so quickly now that I can't even keep up with this part of the talk track, but you start seeing how people are making decisions. The thing that I will say that we consistently see and hear a theme of is that people are not only able to make better decisions, they're surprised at how obvious the decisions are and how quick they're able to make them. You're talking about decisions historically that people would spend weeks trying to get information. And people who are using a good time tracking product, they don't have to guess. If you're a business owner, you shouldn't be guessing. If you're guessing, there's something fundamentally wrong with a process of how you're gathering information, or the fact that you're not. So use technology and iterate on it. And that's, again, where getting really to the core of the question, like, what's the shift? The shift is that people they're caring about data in a way that they historically haven't. It was just like, yeah, we've always done this, and we've always had money in our checking account, and it's fine. And it was like, No, how can I have more? How can I either increase my bid on certain projects and have more profit? How can I maintain my bids and increase my profitability by improving efficiency? Or how can I reduce my bids to get more business? Yeah. But the thing that you hear over and over and over, a consistent theme, is, for the first time in my business career, I'm no longer guessing. I can grow if I want to grow, and I know where to grow and how to grow. And that means the certain type of employee, as well as the certain type of project, or the certain type of crews that should do certain type of work, all because it's data driven. And that is a shift that you, 5 years ago, even 3 years ago, there's no way I would have been saying that we're actually seeing the business owners do that at a historic level. You would see the best companies do it, but that was it.
This industry is evolving very quickly. And there is, like, to your point, there are those who are on the bandwagon to do that, and there are those who are falling behind. And I think that's a good message for everyone listening, which is, look, whether you want to do this or not, this is where we're heading. And probably in the next 5 years, if you haven't adopted something along these lines to control your biggest cost in your organization, you're not going to have the competitive edge. So is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. Okay. You said it succinctly. I try to give all the color behind it. So I think between the two of us, hopefully it was driven home.
Awesome, Derek. Is there any other thoughts, insight, if people want to reach out to you? How do they follow up on this conversation if they want to look into this further?
Yeah, so busybusy.com is where you can find time tracking specifically. AlignOps.com, you're able to see all four of those products that we mentioned. But you go right to the website, you're able to schedule a meeting. You can also just go to the App Store and actually download the app. So it's free. There's no trick to it. You're not having to put a credit card in to get access to it. You get a 14-day full trial of everything that exists there. And during that process, you can schedule a meeting to talk to one of the consultants and take a look at the product and just say, yeah, this is what I'm trying to solve. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. This is what my business looks like. Chances are they've talked to at least 100 other people who look like you, feel like you, and can pretty quickly be able to get to say, oh yeah, I've seen this before. This is what I would encourage. And this is the behavior that I would tell you to stay away from and what to lean into.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Derek. I'll let you back to it. And yeah, thanks for taking some time with us. Talk about time tracking.
Great catching up.
Okay, man. See ya. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.